This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, now that we know that the Texans are not bringing in any new offensive linemen via trade, because the trade deadline has come and gone, by my calculations, Seth, as I pull out my pen and I do my calculations here, I think there's four possible, well, there's more than four, but there's four primary possible combinations that they could trot out there as their starting offensive line. Now that the trade deadline's gone, now that Kenyon Green, we know, is injured and he's out. He's not a factor anymore in all this. And I've jotted down the combinations here, and I'm curious if you have a preference among these and if you have a prediction among these as to what it'll be. So what do you think the Texans will do, and what do you think they should do, or would you like them to do? Okay, so here are and I'll try to keep this as simple and radio friendly as possible. The first one is same offensive line you've had, but with Jarrett Patterson instead of Kenyon Green.
Right.
The second one is same offensive line you've had, but with Kendrick Green instead of Kenyon Green at left guard.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is same offensive line you've had, except move Scruggs to left guard, put Patterson at center.
Right.
Okay, like you had Patterson at center last year and Scruggs at left guard. They never played, I don't think, with each other with that combination, but that's what they each played last year because Patterson was hurt by the time Scruggs came back. And then the last one is the most radical of all of them. Move Titus Howard back to left guard and put Blake Fisher in at right tackle. I would be shocked if it were anything other than the first two, to be honest with you. But I think the other two are worth mentioning because they make for interesting conversation. So
I think I'll go in order of least desirable.
Okay.
So you had the original Kenyon Green playing left guard, so no.
No. That's Kendrick Green right there.
Kendrick. Yeah. Oh, well, you wrote Green. So, okay. There's two green guards, Sean.
Well, there's one that's healthy.
I thought you were throwing one out that was we're just going to roll it back. Okay, so none of these include Kenyon Green.
Of course not.
As the left guard.
Right.
So, least desirable right this moment.
Yeah.
Would be Titus Howard at left guard because he's not a good guard.
Scratch
flat
that
out. It's proven and known at this point. Yeah. He's not a good guard. He's been playing well enough at offensive tackle. I don't think he's playing up to his salary, but he's been playing well enough to play winning football at right tackle. So I don't want to. I like Blake Fisher and his upside. I think he's still a little bit of a project. So I don't feel great about that. I'll keep it open in case, you know, all other possibilities are exhausted.
Yeah.
But Titus Howard just isn't a good guard. I think that after that, I don't like Scruggs at left guard. I've always felt like, no, he is a center. Like, he moves and is built and does, like, everything about the way he operates. I like him better at center than I like him at guard.
Okay.
So that's my third.
Second least
third
desirable,
rank right there.
Yeah.
And then I would say, Kendrick Green at left guard, I'm intrigued by, but man, he's got size challenges, especially at guard. He's got size limitations as a center. Like, he's a small center. You move him to guard, And, man, I love his scrappiness. I love the way he plays. I love the way he gets after it in the run game and finishes blocks and all of that. But there are times in one-on-one pass protection where it looks just as bad as with Kenyon Green. So I got to go with Patterson, is hopefully, as long as he's out of the concussion protocol. That's my most desirable outcome right there.
Okay.
I think Patterson's still got upside. I probably should have gotten a chance to compete earlier in the season. I know you don't like rotating offensive linemen, but my God. Mix it up a little bit every now and then. They could have been doing that several games ago.
So the simplest one is your preference. Just, hey, Jarrett Patterson's healthy. I mean, that's what they did when they benched Kenyon Green. They put Jarrett Patterson in. Is that, if he's healthy, is that what you think they do? Is that, do you think they,
yeah, I think that's,
just keep
I
it
think
simple?
I mean, that's what they did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was their plan. If Kenyon Green went down, it was Jarrett Patterson. The only thing that might change it a little bit, I suppose, is, all right, what were they doing with, you know, when they made the decision in the game to put Jarrett Patterson in there, how many reps has Patterson been taking at guard versus Kendrick Green in practice? And do they feel like with a full week of preparation, and this week they've got the Monday as well, where, you know, Jarrett Patterson didn't practice on Monday where Kendrick Green was able to practice. This week it might be as simple as, well, okay, Kendrick Green's able to get a full week of full practice, and we like him at guard, but we got to see exactly where Patterson is in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, the I'm with you. I think it's just, I think they leave everything the same, but just swap in one of those two guys for Kenyon Green is probably what ends up happening. The other ones are interesting, like, you know, putting Patterson at center and putting Scruggs. They're interesting. I'm not saying they're the right solution or even a less dangerous solution than having Kenyon Green out there. The one you find least desirable, and I totally understand why, Tytus Howard's an awful left guard. Now, the question is he less awful than Kenyon Green? Maybe, but he's awful. You're right. We've seen it with our own eyes. He's not good at left guard.
I do think, like both Tunsil and Tytus right this moment are better offensive tackles than Blake Fisher. So I don't want to take Tytus Howard from a position where he's playing solidly enough and put him into a position where he's bad, and then you're replacing Tytus Howard with a guy who's not as good as Tytus Howard at right tackle.
With a rookie. It's not like you got George Fant sitting there and you can put him in and he's fine. He's a vet. It would be really interesting, though, because this would kind of be the beginning of the Blake Fisher era in some ways. Like, if Blake Fisher were to come in and string together a good 8 games plus the postseason, then I think there's a serious conversation that you're moving on from probably Tytus Howard at that point.
Yeah, which would have been an awesome conversation to have last year where you weren't a potential Super Bowl contender.
Yes.
Or this year, I feel like, okay, yeah, we don't, like, I've had enough time. I just watched Kenyon Green work through his growing pains, and it wasn't pretty. And now you're going to go through that with the second half of the season with Blake Fisher? Not right now. Maybe in a couple of weeks.
I can't believe that left guard is causing all this. Like, that position is the one that's causing all this is crazy. And I don't think we're oversimplifying it.
I mean, they treated Kenyon Green like he's Jose Abreu, except without any track record of...
He didn't have a back of a baseball card.
What was the highest Kenyon Green was in the Offensive Player of the Year rankings at any given point last year? Do you remember the...
I think it was 1,486.
All right, so he wasn't quite on the Jose Abreu former, you know, MVP-caliber player.
Okay,
wanted to check to be sure.
No, you're right. You're right. That's a good point. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy is the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. This back to the trade deadline. Nick is a necessity guy, not a want guy. Look how he handled the Deshaun Watson stuff. That is paramount. They did good on the Deshaun Watson stuff. I don't know what one has to do with the other.
Yeah, I don't know. We're parsing out want versus needs. It's professional football. It's all want.
Yeah.
This is nothing but want.
Right.
We want things, okay?
Right.
Now, you gotta be careful about... So, just taking that text for what it's worth, I don't know exactly what he intended. Like, okay, like, at what point do you draw the line between want and need? Did they need Danielle Hunter? Did they absolutely need Danico Autry? Did they absolutely need Stephon Diggs versus did they want those things? They wanted them because they were going to make an aggressive push to make this a Super Bowl caliber roster. So need versus want, right? Yeah, exactly. If you want to go fully into that, sure, the McNairs should sell the damn team and give all the money to charity. Like, okay, feed people. And now, yes, we're in a want business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't try to make me feel bad about wanting things.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all the same thing in football. It's a silly semantics argument. GM Sean and Seth, ooh, this is scary. Give me your thoughts. Will Detroit play down to the Texans so that it's a competitive game, or will it be a 50-3 blowout?
Help! No way in hell they're playing down on Sunday Night Football to a team that's still, it's still the darling. I mean, CJ Stroud is being treated with kid gloves by national commentators, and mostly at this point, it's starting to turn a little bit because now a lot of the film watchers are starting to see, okay, you know, CJ is,
he's complicit.
He's looking a little skittish at times.
He's complicit in some of the issues.
He's
yes.
drifting backwards in the yeah. pocket. Yeah, like I think that's more of a reflection on Bobby Slowick than anything else at this point.
Yeah.
But they are still very much a buzzworthy team, even though it's not going as well. This was the first week where it was even really reflected in the power rankings. It took losing to the Jets for people to really take notice and say, oh, okay, well, there's a so. I say all that to say, no, I don't think this is like, this is not a trap game for the Lions.
No.
You know, like they're not going to play down on the road on Sunday Night Football to the Texans. We need to see if the Texans can play up to the caliber of the Lions.
Yeah, I don't think in a 50-3 blowout, I think the texter is being intentionally hyperbolic there. I don't think the Texans get like boat raced in this game. Like, I don't think they get run off the field in this game. They're at home. They respond to losses pretty well under DeMeco Ryans. They've not lost a game following a loss since week two of his first season. So I think they will. Now they haven't faced a team like the Lions in any of those games. But I think they're going, and they're getting a lot of guys back. Hopefully, I think they're going to play well on Sunday. I don't think they win the game. But I think they're going to play well.
I think they'll play well, but also just in terms of okay, are the Lions going to play down to the Texans or what have you? The Lions' next two games, are they going to be looking ahead to, after playing Houston, are they going to be too focused in on Jacksonville, their next opponent?
That's who they play
Are
next.
They going to be too focused in on the big Colts matchup coming up in a couple weeks?
They've got an AFC South gauntlet here.
Yeah.
Then
they face the Bears after that. Like, you know, if anything, you have to worry about them looking ahead to Green Bay, who they own now too. Yeah. Is okay, now have the Lions played down to a team yet this year? They lost to Tampa in the second game of the year. They only scored 16 points in that game. I wouldn't call that playing down to Tampa.
No, that was Tampa. Tampa was pre-Evans and Godwin injury. Tampa was a good team.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Tampa's still a very competitive team.
That's their only loss.
The Tampa game might be the one where you can most say, all right, look, yes, it was early in the season, but they scored the Lions scored 16 points at home in that game. You know, then they beat Arizona by scoring 20 points.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not an unstoppable force against all opponents or anything.
Right.
But they're a very good football team.
Yeah.
And I think that, but I don't expect there to be any kind of a letdown or looking ahead or trap game for the Lions.
What concerns you the most about them offensively? What their offense does versus the Texans' defense?
The play action.
Yeah.
I think they're really good. The Texans have not been tackling well lately. So
that's my big thing.
It's the old man. They run the play action really well. The Texans lack discipline at times against play action. They let up big plays downfield. And they're not tackling as well as they were early in the season.
Yeah.
That's one thing that DeMeco has mentioned a couple times, and it's true. That is one of those boring things that can be corrected if you shift the emphasis. And I don't know what they need to have it driven home to them that they need to be better tacklers, but just go ahead and turn on the David Montgomery highlight reel.
Dude.
He's going to embarrass your ass on national television.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's going to make you look like you don't even like football.
Yeah.
You watch David Montgomery, and there's business decisions being made by defensive backs all over the place out there.
Yeah.
So, that's the tackling is paramount this week.
I totally agree. And I think it's not just Montgomery in the run game. Like, they do a lot of catch and run stuff. You know, they do a lot of yard after catch. Like, Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a really good yards after catch guy. Jahmyr Gibbs is an excellent, excellent receiver out of the backfield. Yes. Tackling, like, you know, DeMeco, after games, after wins especially, will say, you know, that was the number one thing that we said we needed to do, was this or that. If they win this game and he does an interview after the game, it wouldn't surprise me if the number one thing we needed to do was tackle well, like in this game. I think that is like the number one key in this game.
I'm going to be most frustrated after this game if the Texans lose, you know, 21-19 or something, because that's where Look, the defense did its job again versus a really good team, and the offense was just the same thing they've been all year. It's like, okay, we can do it every now and then, but we certainly can't. We can't really do it with consistency or turn points out.
It's really funny, like what expectations do to a fan base. Because like, if we forecast ahead, if they were to lose this game on Sunday, they'd be 6-4 on the season through 10 games. Uh-huh. And I think, look, we're already seeing it at 6-3. People are very anxious right now because of the issues on the offensive line and no moves at the trade deadline yesterday. And then they lose to the Lions, and depending on how it looks, we'll probably even amp up the angst in the fan. Like if they go out there and they're clearly not on the same level as the Lions, then it'll get really bad. I think if they lose, though, there'll still be disappointment at 6-4. Last year, you know what their record was through 10 games? 6-4. And they were on a 3-game winning streak where they had the comeback against the Buccaneers, the win in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow healthy, and then the win against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals here to move to 6-4 on the season and set up that big matchup against the Jaguars the next week. This city was on fire at 6-4 last year. You know what
I
mean?
Right.
And they would be 6-4 after this if they were to lose to the Lions. And there, we would be getting texts like the guy that texted earlier, like, oh, no moves at the deadline. I'm out on this team. Like,
you know what this feels like, Sean? You know what this season feels like? This is what happens with stand-up comedians who, you know, like, you might catch them when they're kind of young and they're gritty and you love the guy and he's just so real and authentic. But then they hit big. And then that next special they put out, all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second. This guy used to just wear a t-shirt, and now he's wearing like a shiny $5,000 suit.
Yeah.
And but half his material is about the private jet rides he took with God forbid, Diddy. But somebody famous. This guy's lost. He's lost it. He's lost the very thing that I really liked about him. And a lot of times the pendulum swings back, and that, you know, because usually they'll blow their money or they'll get hooked on coke. So then they get knocked back down a little bit. In their next special, they're pretty good. That's what they feel like right now. They feel like a coked up, fancy suit wearing stand up comedian who just hit it big. They're Lewis Black, the one special he had. Not Lewis Black. The other one from the Redneck Comedy Tour. The
Jeff Foxworthy.
Not Foxworthy. Okay. Foxworthy always stayed Foxworthy. Yeah. The older guy with the gray hair.
Larry the Cable
really
guy.
Funny. What's that? No, not Larry the Cable guy.
I don't know.
The other one. Anyway.
I don't know. This is like me asking you about wrestlers right now.
Yes. I know. I apologize, and there's too much stuff going on. Yeah.
Your analogy holds.
Yes.
Your analogy is good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. DeAndre Hopkins. Big day for DeAndre Hopkins on Monday Night Football.
Ron White.
There you
go. That's who I was saying. Ron White, you guys will recall, Ron White, right after the Redneck Comedy Tour, Ron White came out and he did, like, he looked different. He lost weight. He was just wearing, and he didn't feel so redneck, you know? He felt like, and all his stories were about, like, oh, the luxury bus that they use on tour and everything.
Not relatable.
It just didn't feel right.
Not
relatable. But then he came back down a little.
Good. Well, we need them to come back around sometime between
now and
January.
They are the worst version of Ron White right now.
Okay, there you go. Could this move to the Chiefs for DeAndre Hopkins jumpstart his Hall of Fame candidacy? We will jump into that coming up next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Buccaneer 5, Chiefs 3rd and goal. In the shotgun, here's a five-man rush and a quick throw and a belt-high catch by Hopkins and a touchdown at the goal line. He spun in his second touchdown reception tonight, and the Chiefs have taken a lead.
That was vintage DeAndre Hopkins, man, on Monday Night Football, and that Texans will see him in week 16 when they travel to Kansas City. That's right. They'll get to...
Look, DeAndre Hopkins has had, I mean, a way better career than people realize just because he played for the Texans forever, and then he's gone off and he's been on various different teams. But he's just never had, you know, he had his time with Deshaun Watson, but other than that, really just a hodgepodge of various quarterbacks that don't elicit a lot of attention. I mean, I can't even go through all the different quarterbacks that have thrown a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. There's 14 of them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Deshaun Watson first and foremost, but Kyler Murray, Will Levis, Ryan Mallett, Brock Osweiler, Brian Hoyer, Tom Savage, Brandon Whedon, Matt Schaub, Ryan Tannehill, Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then, Pat Mahomes. Yeah. One name feels a lot different than the rest.
Now Mahomes. You're absolutely right. I think, like, the crazy thing about that is that, like, this, I would bet if you had receivers, DeAndre's been around, he's in his 12th season now. He was drafted in 2013. I would bet if you had a lot of productive receivers over the course of a 12-year span, they've probably caught touchdown passes from a similar number of quarterbacks, just based on spot starts here and there. I would guess, like, Steve Smith, somebody like that, probably played with a bunch of guys in Carolina, probably played with a few backups, you know, played in Baltimore a little bit. DeAndre moving around has a little bit to do with that, this latter part of his career. But he's played full seasons with some of these guys. You know, somebody who played in Pittsburgh probably, like if Antonio Brown had played his whole career in Pittsburgh, he probably would have caught touchdown passes from maybe like eight or nine different quarterbacks because Ben Roethlisberger missed a few games, you know, here and there along the way. Like he played full seasons with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler and Ryan Mallett, you know?
And it's, no, and I even like, so the 33rd team put out a graphic yesterday with all these players and they screwed up. They had a typo, which was glaring because TJ Yates, they've got him listed for 27 touchdowns to DeAndre. And I'm like, wait a second. TJ Yates had 10 career touchdown passes. Seven of them were to DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
So TJ Yates, you know what it did? It made me angry about Brock Osweiler again. Brock Osweiler was the one quarterback that couldn't figure out how to get DeAndre Hopkins the ball. He had four touchdown passes to TJ Yates' seven touchdown passes.
Yep. DeAndre Hopkins did an on-field interview after the game with ESPN on Monday night after the Chiefs win over the Bucks, in which he had over 80 yards receiving and a couple of touchdowns. And he was very emotional about finally getting this opportunity to play with an all-time great quarterback.
Honestly, the words can't describe it. Been patient. You know, this is a dream come true to get my first win in a stadium like this, on a team like this. Just got to keep building the momentum. The way these coaches help you prepare day in and day out. I come in early, I leave late. So, you know, the coaches, it's not just me, it's everybody. You know, just preparing me to come out here and be successful. I mean, I manifested this, I seen this already. You know, if my mom, you know, we knew this day would come. And, I'm just being present in the moment.
Yeah, I got to do more manifesting of things.
I know. That's just a great verb, man.
What should we manifest? Well, it comes back to the feeling that if you just put it out there into the universe, the universe will deliver.
Yeah,
you get a little bit new agey and everything, but there is some there's substance to it, obviously, you know, having good expectations and looking for the good opportunities and everything. This is kind of the dream scenario for a wide receiver. That at some point you walk through the desert and all of a sudden the oasis is there, and the oasis looks like Pat Mahomes.
The oasis
and his annoying wife.
The oasis is Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, and a guy who talks like this.
And Jackson Mahomes
in a weird party.
But they've got water, man. Yeah, they've got water. They do. They've got water.
They do. And the big one's Andy Reid, man. That's a big part of it.
I wouldn't want to see Andy Reid at my oasis. I feel like this guy's going to eat up all the dates.
That's true.
Yeah, this is, I don't know. No.
He might hoard the food. DeAndre Hopkins, he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory when he was with the Texans. Like, he was a three-time first-team All-Pro with the Texans. He made a bunch of Pro Bowls. His numbers that he was accumulating as a Texan from 2013 through 2019 were right on track with Andre Johnson's numbers as a Houston Texan. Andre Johnson just went into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I feel like he got to Arizona, had a good season. He was second team All-Pro his first season there, so he had a good season in 2020 in the COVID year. And then suspensions and injuries and uneven play. Kyler Murray gets hurt. Then he goes to Tennessee, which is just a wasteland for wide receivers. And so you look at the quote back of his football card for his whole career, and he's got these 5 years or 6 years where he was one of the two or three best receivers in football. He was a three-time first-team All-Pro and a two-time second-team All-Pro, doing it with, as you pointed out, Seth, a ton of different quarterbacks, doing it with a way different ecosystem than the other guys who were first-team All-Pros in that time frame, who had consistent... Calvin Johnson had Matt Stafford the whole time. Antonio Brown had Ben Roethlisberger the whole time. You know, I could go back and look and see other names. Way more consistent quarterback play than DeAndre Hopkins had. And so I feel like these last 3 years have kind of like thrown him off that Hall of Fame grid. But being back with the Chiefs, and we don't know how long this Chiefs thing is going to last. I mean, he's a free agent after this year. But if he gets a Super Bowl... If he's part of a Super Bowl team and he plays a prominent role in them getting to and winning a Super Bowl, I feel like he's right back in that conversation again.
Well, he's already, I mean, he's a lot like Anquan Boldin. I mean, the comp for him for a long time has been Anquan Boldin, that's a physical guy that can make the 50-50 catches without being very fast at all conventionally, but fast enough to get his version of open and to make these hard contested catches. And just like it is with Anquan Boldin, where it's almost like a plaything among Hall of Fame candidacy, you know, debates, but he doesn't have the same numbers the other guys does, but his game ages really well because speed was never a huge part of it. And I think that's what you're going to see with DeAndre Hopkins now, that especially he's with a coach that can scheme him open and use him appropriately.
Yeah.
I don't think DeAndre Hopkins, you take Pat Mahomes and DeAndre Hopkins and put Bobby Slowick in charge of that offense up there.
Right.
What do they do as well as they would do with Bobby Slowick?
Of course not.
Slowick. Yeah. No. Yeah. You put Bobby Slowick up there, no. Not going to happen.
Right. It's a great combination, man. And he was doing things in that game. Like that. He had 8 catches for 86 yards, if I recall, and 2 touchdowns. And there were things he was doing in that game that were like vintage Hopkins. It wasn't just like he's the open man for a little check down and that's how he stockpiled 8 catches for that catch he made in between 3 guys down near the goal line where Mahomes just threw it up there for him and let him go get it. Like that was Houston Texan DeAndre Hopkins.
He had a little bit of a Spinderella moment too.
Yeah, along the sideline.
Really nice spin. He didn't turn it into, I was almost looking for a recreation of his spin move party against the Cowboys.
Right.
But, you know, he's older now. He's good for one spin move.
One spin move.
He got pushed out of bounds.
Yep. 5-Hour Energy fan line. This goes back to the Lions and the Texans. Sean, we struggle to put up more than 21 points. Tell me you can't honestly see this being a 41-17 game. Honestly now, Sean. You know what, Texter? I was fine with your point until you threw the honestly now, Sean, in the end. Like, I never said they couldn't get blown out in this game. They could get blown. If they bring the same game this coming Sunday that they brought to New York last Thursday, they will get blown off the field. Yeah, I promise you that.
If the defense plays the way they did in the second half, where, man, you can make excuses for the defense sometimes based on just, okay, well, the offense left them out on the field there too long. No, the Texans were, if I recall properly, soundly winning the time of possession battle at the half.
Yeah.
And then it was the first drive of the second half the Jets drove down and scored a touchdown. And then they did it with each consecutive drive. They scored a touchdown. Three straight drives of touchdown drives in the second half versus the New York freaking Jets. So, yeah, it's very much within the realm of possibility. I think it's just not the most likely outcome right
now. Yeah, I agree.
It's just, the Texans' defense is very solid. I think some of the advanced stats that have them as a top five defense right now are a little bit skewed by the quarterbacks they've faced. But they're a solid enough defense that the Lions have gone out and not put up more than 20 points a few times this year.
Right.
So it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to get blown out. I think it's going to be a close game. And at home, the offensive line hasn't been enough as much of an issue for the Texans at home as it has been on the road.
Yep.
Honestly, Sean, why can't you just be honest with us for once in your life?
Honestly now, Sean, is the three
honestly.
Words. Honestly.
Didn't he use
now.
Honest twice in that text?
I just know that he tacked on honestly. Here we go. Yes, he did. To use it twice.
Yeah.
Struggle to put up more than 21 points. Tell me you can't honestly see this game being a 41-17 game. Honestly now, Sean.
Come on,
like he's,
Sean.
Like he's wagging his, he's wagging his text finger at me, saying, "Look at you, look at you with your delusional optimism about this team.
You disingenuous monster!
That's
just sitting here and lying to my face and everybody else.
Right to your face, right in your text face, right in your 5-hour energy fan line face."
But it's certainly within the realm of possibilities.
It absolutely is.
100%.
Yeah.
If you want objectivity, though, then go to the Vegas where the Texans are only 3-point underdogs. You know, and I was lambasting Vegas for making the Jets the favorite last week, and then I got my comeuppance.
Yep,
got it real good and hard, didn't I?
Same. Yep. They gave you that comeuppance. Yes.
Well, wisely, I took the under, which is the smart play with the Texans this year. I didn't even bet on the.
I'm anxious. You got a beat on this one yet? I'm not asking you for your prediction yet.
Waiting until I see if Will Anderson and Nico Collins are both healthy, then I'm still going to take the under.
Yeah.
But I think it's a combination. The Texans have hit the under a bunch, and I think a lot of it's a combination of people being overly optimistic about the offense, and then maybe subtly disrespecting the Texans' defense. The team, the way the narrative was entering the season, people are holding on to it a little too tight.
I'll keep it real simple too. I agree with both those things you said. I think some of it's a function of them running the football with Mixon that keeps the clock moving.
That shortens
the game.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Trade deadline was yesterday. Not sure if you heard. The biggest trade that happened that impacts the Houston Texans. We will hear from the experts on that. And how many of you share the same view as our old friend John McClain? Boy, John was alarmist about this on social media yesterday. Yes.
Was he like old school John McClain?
I'll read the tweet in the next segment and I'll let you be the judge. We'll do that.
He was doling out pathetics and everything.
We'll see. I'll let you know. We'll do that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. All right, the one trade that was made in the last 48 hours that really lands on the Texans' front lawn is this Za'Darius Smith trade to the Lions, because that just made Sunday's game, which is already difficult, a little bit more difficult with edge rusher Za'Darius Smith joining the Detroit Lions coming from the Cleveland Browns. Here was Ian Rapoport yesterday of the NFL Network on the Za'Darius Smith pickup by the Lions.
Detroit Lions, they made a big acquisition this morning, really the acquisition that everyone has been waiting for, that Lions fans have been waiting for, one of the longest rumored trades over the last several weeks. Za'Darius Smith, the Browns' standout edge, he is traded from the Browns to the Detroit Lions. Here are the terms. It is Smith and a 2026 seventh going to Detroit for a 2025 fifth and a 2026 sixth. So that really is the market. Kind of coupled that with the Baron Browning trade for a six yesterday. That is basically the market for edge rushers right now. Obviously, there's maybe some better players out there, some cheaper players. I mean, there's different deals you can do, but that is essentially the market. And I think the main thing, guys, for the Detroit Lions is they begin the process of filling the void, the gigantic void left by Aiden Hutchinson's massive injury.
So this is like the second team in a row. I'm trying to go back through. This is the second team in a row that made a big pickup like a week before or 2 weeks before they played the Texans. Like the Jets picked up Davante Adams, I think when they were 2-5, maybe 2-4. I can't remember. I think they picked him up the week after they fired Robert Saleh. So they were 2-4. So that was a few weeks before they played the Texans. But the Texans have had to face probably two of the maybe three or four biggest pickups, or will have by Sunday, that teams have made. And of all the positions with this one, Seth, like if you were to tell me, like, the Texans are facing a team right after the trade deadline that made one of the bigger trades. Oh, okay. Well, what position? And you'd hope, like, it's a position where the Texans match up really well. Edge rusher. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
He's not an interior guy. Yeah.
Right. An interior defensive lineman would strike more fear. But the problem is that, man, it doesn't matter if it's an edge rusher or an interior defensive lineman, because it's what happens when those defensive ends slant down on games into the interior. That's where they've been able to do a lot of damage. Yeah. So, yeah, a Quinnen Williams type player would strike the most fear in my heart, mm-hmm. just like he did all of last week. But it's still, yeah, it's not as big as something like that, but it's still a big deal. The tackles, Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard have been fine in pass protection. Yep. I don't think either of those guys are living up to their contracts in terms of the full picture and what they are as offensive tackles. You know, I would take Penei Sewell in a heartbeat over either of those guys. Yeah. But the one-on-one matchups are not the big concern there. It's those guys, Za'Darius Smith or whomever else, coming down inside when they can rush against fence post guards.
It's tough, man. Like, the three hardest team the Texans face all got better over the last 24 hours to varying degrees. Well, the Chiefs got better over the last couple of weeks. They've had DeAndre Hopkins for a couple weeks now.
You know what the Lions are doing, Sean?
What are they doing?
They're not ignoring in victory what they would address in defeat.
That's a good point.
They've been all right, like, since Aiden Hutchinson got injured. They've been all right. They're one of the best defenses in the league, but they've had to blitz more than I think Aaron Glenn would really prefer to, and they want to be able to just have more versatility when they go up against the good teams, mm-hmm. and not get, you know, over the course of a season, when you're blitzing all the time, the weak spots in the armor start to emerge, and they want to get out ahead of that. So good for them. Good for you, Detroit Lions.
Are you feeling the same level of urgency and fear that John McClain is feeling after yesterday's trade deadline, Seth? Are you ready for this?
Hey, yes.
Here we go. CJ, well, first of all, this is after a slew of tweets leading up to the deadline of McClain just yelling, Nick, are you there? Are you there? Like, he's waiting for a trade. But here was the tweet. This is at 3:27 p.m. yesterday. CJ Stroud is the most pressured QB in the league. The pass pro has been awful, but Caserio and Ryans didn't get even a modicum of help. Maybe they'll be right. If not, Stroud will continue to get pulverized, and fans will see Davis Mills at some point. A Stroud injury is inevitable.
Inevitable.
That is some dark stuff, man.
This is the problem. And this is still all of Caserio and... This is Caserio, this is Bobby Slowick, this is Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach, this is D'Amico. This is D'Amico, in that they clung onto Kenyon Green's first-round status for multiple years now. Kenyon Green got to take a hiatus. This is like he's been a professor at a college for 30 years, and they're going to let him go off and studied Egyptology or something for a year and then come on back. He got a year off. Why? Well, no specific reason. He's had a lot of different injuries and he needs a little time to rest and reflect. And then he comes back off of his hiatus in his second year in the NFL and he looks better physically, but he's getting manhandled.
Yeah.
Week in, week out, manhandled. Yeah. Manhandled.
Yeah.
Destroyed. And they chose to do nothing about it. That's the part that is the double whammy, is that they chose to do nothing about it for the entire first half of the season, and now you're stuck in a situation where you'd love to know exactly what you have in Jarrett Patterson at left guard, but you've got one series of work out of him. So that's who you're going to roll with, and now we got to trust the guys that told us to trust Kenyon Green that Jarrett Patterson's going to be just fine. I think Jarrett Patterson will be better at left guard than Kenyon Green was, mostly because almost any human being would be better than Kenyon Green has been at left guard. Yeah. So that'll be better. Is it the ideal answer? We won't know until we see it play out.
Yeah, the year off thing is tricky because he had a bunch of injuries. Yeah. And I, at the time, I know my feeling was, okay, I think this is a good thing. Let him go get healthy. Let him get all his surgeries. Let him get repair. Let him get in shape. And he did all those things. It just turns out he's just not a very good football player.
It's Jose freaking Abreu.
Yeah.
They might as well have sent him to the rookie league.
Yeah.
Like they just said, all right, well, like tell me the fourth and fifth and sixth round picks that would receive this type of treatment. Hey, fella, I know you've been banged up physically, dude, so we're gonna give you the year off. But don't worry, when you come back, you'll be the starter. Yeah, because you're our first-round pick.
Can you?
This is being so beholden to draft status that it's the kind of things that bad organizations do.
Yeah.
It's not. This is the exact opposite of Pete Carroll making everybody fight for their job.
Right.
This was specifically, this guy is a first-round pick. We're going to treat him like he's got the job all through training camp. We're going to call it a competition, but it's Kenyon Green out there with the ones at left guard. Because he's a first-round pick. If he was a seventh-round pick, there's not a single chance in hell that they would have treated him this way.
Can you?
Not a single chance in hell.
No. I agree
And
with
I
that.
Know hell.
And I agree.
I'm well acquainted with it.
I know hell. I do a show with Sean for 4 hours a day. I know hell. Can you imagine if Kenyon Green showed up at, like, a Florida campus of one of the college football teams down there, like Jose Abreu style? Like, he just shows up at FAU.
Gonna,
what are you doing here?
Send him off to the CFL.
Yeah,
you know,
the XFL. Somewhere,
we'll send him to the XFL or whatever version of it they're calling it now.
Do you think Kenyon Green is on this team next year?
I think he's the starter. I think if I'm going by past precedent, he's going to roll right back in as the big swinging, left guard. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he is.
I don't
is.
Think he is. I think he's, no, he needs a new environment.
Yeah, maybe. I looked it up. I mean, it costs the same to keep him as it does to cut him. He's on a rookie deal. He's got $5 million guaranteed left on the deal. You know, that's it. Like, you got to pay him the $5 million, you know. So.
This is the one thing about Kenyon Green that I wonder sometimes, too, is that I think sometimes GMs fall into the trap of taking young players and thinking, well, gosh, look at how young he is. Because Kenyon Green was he 21 when they drafted him?
I'm not sure.
Or he had just turned 21. And that, like, oh, okay, but he looks physically immature. You know, at the time, I think they're thinking, okay, he looks kind of physically immature, but he'll grow into that. And almost like you're a talent scout, you know, trying to figure out if a kid's going to be, like, an actor is going to still be good looking after
blossom
he goes through puberty.
Into a star.
If this sitcom lasts, is this kid going to be one of those annoying sitcom kids?
Right.
Or does he actually have the chops to make it through puberty?
That's exactly right. Is he Jason Bateman, or is he the annoying little redhead kid from Different Strokes? Which one
right,
is he?
Right.
Yeah. Bateman's
Are those
good.
The same kids?
No. Jason Bateman was on all like those sitcoms back in the 80s. And
who
turned
was the
out,
redheaded kid from different? Oh, the redheaded kid from Different
little,
Strokes.
The little kid. Yeah, you don't know him because he didn't turn into anything because he's an annoying little kid. Little Sam.
Yeah. Okay.
A little bowl haircut.
Oh, that kid.
Yeah. Remember back in the 80s where they bring kid, like if a sitcom was starting to fail, then the mom would just get pregnant and have a kid. You know, like they did that on Family Ties, you know?
Yeah, I was confusing him with Cousin Oliver.
He's annoying, too. They did that on Brady Bunch.
Yes. Guy they brought in, yeah.
Yes.
And Kenyon Green was Cousin Oliver.
Yes.
I mean, like, they brought him in to be with, like, all these older guys, and Cousin Oliver just was not a match.
No.
It just was not the fit, and it wasn't like you could do anything to salvage that.
Oh, my God. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Nick Caserio on the trade deadline. His thoughts on it. Does it match up with what the Texans did? And we'll hear from Dana Brown in the 9 o'clock hour as well. The Astros got some work to do here, but all of our teams here got work to do. And we'll talk about that coming up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.